The next topic is what I call risk allocation. Maybe the most important thing to get is that risk typically does not disappear. Financial intermediaries typically don't just dissolve risk and make it go away. What they do is allocate risk, and they might allocate risk away from certain individual savers, but ultimately other people, whether they're bondholders or shareholders or taxpayers, will end up bearing the risk. So they're mostly in the business of risk allocation. They can dissolve risk or dissolve some risk through diversification. So, for example, let's say that we have savers who want short-term assets. You know, ideally they can withdraw their money at any time, but not every saver wants their money now or money at any one time. Then if you're a bank with a diversified set of savers, you can invest in long-term assets, maybe not 30-year assets, maybe 5-year assets, whatever, and issue short-term liabilities and count on this, not every saver coming in to your bank and asking for withdrawal at the same time. So you provide, by having a diversified group of savers, not every saver wants the money at the same time, you can acquire long-term assets, back them by short-term liabilities, and thereby almost achieve a sort of a magic of making the term risk or the liquidity risk go away by diversifying. Whereas if you were a bank with just one saver and that saver could withdraw money at any time, then you couldn't safely invest in long-term assets because that saver might walk in tomorrow, want their money back, and then you're stuck with the money in long-term assets. So there's a little bit of diversification that you get from having many savers funding at the same time. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on the terms of a demand deposit where they can immediately get their money. You could also imagine this with, you know, 3-month certificates of deposit as a savings vehicle and 5-year bonds as the assets that the intermediary holds. So you get some advantage of diversification on liquidity risk. You also get some advantage of diversification on default risk. So if I have many mortgage loans, the chances of my losing, you know, 80 to 90% or even 50% of my investment is much less than if I just have one mortgage loan. And sort of the more geographic diversification and other forms of diversification you have, the better. So again, diversification to some extent allows you to offer relatively low-risk liabilities, where for even though each asset has higher risk, because the collective portfolio of these higher-risk assets, if it's diversified, is going to be of lower risk than the risk of an individual asset, of one asset. So diversification does allow you to reduce to reduce risk in some sense in the system. But once you get beyond the ability to reduce risk by diversification, all you're doing is reallocating risk. So if the term risk in this mortgage, remember we have this weird 30-year completely flexible term, and let's say I offer a 10-year bond, and then the buyer of the 10-year bond takes on a great deal of the term risk. That is, they might prefer to get their hands on their money right away, and in fact they have to wait 10 years, so they're bearing some term risk. But then if I'm the intermediary, then my shareholders are bearing the remainder of this risk, the risk that the mortgage will prepay early, or the risk that the person will keep the mortgage beyond 10 years, all the way out to 30 years. So this term risk can get reallocated by issuing a 10-year bond. It doesn't go away. So kind of a naive and idealistic way of thinking about financial intermediation is that they find people who are willing to bear the risk, that they find better allocations of risk by finding who is willing to actually bear the risk. But in a world of regulation and in a world where there's often some form of government protection, either explicit or implicit, this allocating risk can take, and also in a world where a lot of people just don't understand the risk they're taking, and this includes professional investors and executives, a lot of times allocating risk amounts to finding the weakest party to take it, including the weakest link in the regulatory chain. So often the risk allocation process amounts to finding the weakest link, finding the business executive who doesn't understand the risk that he's putting onto his shareholders, or find a way to put risk onto taxpayers without regulators knowing enough to stop it. So that if there's a tendency for risk to show up where it's least expected, that's not entirely a surprise, because there is this natural process in which allocating risk amounts to finding the weakest link. So we'll be talking a lot about that in forthcoming lectures.